It's 841 on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. You can find us not just on the radio, but also online. Our website for the program, jeffexchange.org. It is a corner of the larger website for the entire organization, ijpr.org, revamped just about a month and a half ago with a whole bunch of new offerings that we think you'll enjoy. So check us out at jeffexchange.org and or ijpr.org. You can also find the Jefferson Exchange on Facebook and on Twitter, and you can take part in our conversations as they happen. Those phone numbers, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email is jx@jeffnet.org. It may be slow, tedious work, but archaeology can certainly look like romantic and even heroic work in movies, if the movies in question are things like Raiders of the Lost Ark. But that's obviously a dramatization. The reality of present-day archaeology is reflected, perhaps more accurately, by the films of the Archaeology Film Fest series. The series will bring entries from last spring's festival in Eugene to Ashland for showings this weekend and next at ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum in Ashland. Rick Pettigrew is the executive director of the Archaeological Legacy Institute, or ALI, and he's our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Rick, welcome back.
Hello, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's good to have you. So tell us a bit about your organization, the Archaeological Legacy Institute, and the website, The Archaeology Channel.
We're a nonprofit media organization focusing on cultural heritage with a specific focus on archaeology, but we define our topic very broadly. Our website, The Archaeology Channel, is a streaming media website that's been up streaming video and audio programs since 2000. It's one of the oldest streaming media websites. We started that a long time ago when streaming media was just coming online and the technology was very primitive.
What was the reason for starting it? I mean, what message did you want to get out about archaeology that you felt perhaps the world wasn't getting, or who were you trying to reach?
Yeah, I think the world really wasn't getting it. I mean, archaeologists are exploring the human past, exploring our very nature in terms of where we came from and how things came to be the way they are. But archaeologists tend to put out their results in, formal professional papers and books and whatnot, and the information doesn't really reach out widely to the broader public. And I always felt that was a shame because we're telling the human story, and it should be a benefit to everybody. So when the potential benefit of streaming media came evident, we jumped at the chance to use media to get the word out to people about all that we're learning about ourselves.
And in those early days, 13 years ago, I mean, how much content was available for the Archaeology Channel? Did you have like the same 2 5-minute videos running in perpetuity for a while?
Well, you know, people have been making films about archaeology and cultural heritage for a long, long time. So long before there was streaming media, there was media. Not a lot of it was getting out there because there weren't a lot of venues for people to see that kind of thing. But there was plenty of content. We've never had a shortage of content.
All right. So how long has the film fest been going on?
We started that in 2003. So our upcoming festival, which will happen in Eugene in 2014 in May, will be our 11th festival. So we've been doing it for better than a decade now. We have quite a record. I'm really proud that we've been able to do it because it wasn't that easy to get it started.
What were some of the issues getting it started in the first place?
Well, money, largely, and just, you know, learning how to do it because we had to climb a learning curve. I'm an archaeologist, right? I've never was trained in media before all this. So we had to basically learn everything from scratch. We fortunately had some help from some other folks. We patterned our event after a number of European festivals that take place every year, and the people in Bordeaux, France, were especially helpful to us. So we got it off the board. We got it off the drawing board and started it. But you know, it was a challenge. But now it's become a familiar pattern for us.
And so, who are the people who attend either the actual Archaeology Channel International Film and Video Festival in Eugene in the spring, or will come to see the films you're showing in Ashland this weekend and next?
Well, who are they? They're basically a general audience. They're probably very similar to your listening audience, actually.
I guess that explains why you're here.
Fairly broad audience. people who have a lot of curiosity and interest. I'd like to think that these are people who think, who like to think outside the box, who are interested in new and different things, and are curious about exploring the human past. So, you know, in terms of ages, they're all ages. Probably the majority are in the upper age brackets, but we do have a lot of young people, especially people in educational institutions. And educational institutions do use our programming a lot, you know, so students and teachers are pretty much involved.
And what are some of the major topics? I mean, do you choose topics that are really hot at the moment in the world of archaeology for the Eugene Festival and for the ones that you bring to Ashland?
We invite the world to submit what they have. We don't have any preconceptions about the topics. We receive films from all over the world, many different countries. In the time we've done it, we've received films from 45 different countries. They make them in very many different styles or on all kinds of different topics. I think it's a pretty good sample of what's out there in the world, actually. And we don't define our subject narrowly. We define it very broadly. So it's not simply archaeology in the sense of archaeologists stooping over and scraping the dirt in square holes. But it's very broad in terms of exploring the human past, even including topics such as indigenous peoples today and their cultural heritage.
Rick Pettigrew is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the executive director of the Archaeological Legacy Institute, which is obviously the provider of the International Film and Video Festival, which is in Eugene in the springtime. And several of the films will be brought to Ashland for showing at the Science Works Hands-On Museum this weekend and next weekend in Ashland. You can join us on the Exchange. Our phone number is 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So tell us about some of the films that you're bringing to Ashland for these showings.
We're showing 8 films altogether each evening, Friday, Saturday. It's about a 2-hour program with 2 films. We're starting out with Lost Cities of the Amazon, about the interesting discovery that the Amazon Basin is not just this vast tropical forest, this untouched wilderness, but instead was occupied by millions of people at the time the Spanish first arrived. Unfortunately, that population was decimated by disease. Now we're learning that there were large communities, even cities and monumental architecture in the Amazon Basin. Mysteries of the Ancient Architects is about earthworks built 2,000 years ago in Ohio. Very interesting subject.
By whom and for what?
Well, they were built by what we call the Hopewell culture. Giant geometric squares, circles, octagons, built on a master architectural design. These were very sophisticated people that lived 2,000 years ago in the Ohio River Valley. Very fascinating.
It really is. How much is getting back to the other film, Lost Cities of the Amazon? I remember reading not terribly long ago about some technological innovations that make it a little easier to figure out what lies under the forest canopy. Is that part of what happened here?
Well, yeah, that kind of work is going on. There's a lot of archaeology happening in the Amazon Basin now. And looking back at the early Spanish records, conquistador Francisco de Orellana sailed down the Amazon River in the, I guess it was the 1520s or 1530s, before the population was decimated. And he reported seeing huge populations in large cities and towns. And after a time passed, he was basically regarded as kind of a liar. People didn't believe it because in later decades and centuries, there was no evidence of such a civilization. But now archaeology is discovering that he was telling the truth.
Wow. All kinds of stuff to find out about there. Okay, so that's...
There's satellite photographs, you know, radar, LIDAR, all kinds of technology now is making it possible for us to see through the forest canopy.
So is archaeology very different from what it was when you started doing it?
Well, archaeology...
I mean, you're still looking for the same sorts of things, but...
Yeah, looking for the same sorts of things, but the technology keeps improving. I think more and more archaeologists are relying on remote sensing, using technology to gather information, especially over the landscape, rather than simply digging holes, which is very labor-intensive and very expensive. So, you know, the more tools we have at our disposal, the easier it is to investigate and learn what we've always wanted to know.
All right, so we talked about Lost Cities of the Amazon and Mysteries of the Ancient Architects, and then you have a B program, too, I see.
Well, it's A, B, C, and D. Saturday night, I remember, I believe, about an African-American burial ground that was rediscovered as a result of a highway project in Georgia. Mi Chakra is about indigenous people in Peru in the highlands that are trying to reconcile their traditional culture with the modern world. Then on next weekend, Friday night, Ethiopia in the footsteps of the first Christians. It's all about Ethiopian monasteries. It started around 300 AD 300 in Ethiopia. It's fascinating history. And Six Generations, about six generations of females in the Santa Barbara area, Chumash Native Americans, going back to the early Spanish period. Finally, the Saturday night, November 16th, Unburying the Past, about the prehistory and archaeology of Malaysia, a country that's not often discussed here, but it has a fascinating prehistory, and the people there are really interested in archaeology and doing a lot of interesting research. And then finally, the 2,000-year-old computer, about a mechanism, an actual mechanism that computes, that was built about 2,200 years ago. It's an incredible discovery. Archaeological discovery. Now it's been reconstructed.
This is the Greek story, the Antikythera, is that it?
The Antikythera mechanism.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It now has been interpreted using, again, modern technology to get a 3D image of the device, which is encrusted. It was found at the bottom of the ocean, and now it's clear that it was a very complex mechanical computing device, something we never would have imagined just a few years ago.
But nobody really knows still what it's for?
Well, I think, watch the film, actually, now we've learned a lot about what it was for. It's a calculating device. It predicts the locations of the planets, and it predicts eclipses. It's a calendrical measuring or a calculating device. It's very complex, and incredibly complex for something that old. It's quite a remarkable discovery.
And it predicts the movements of objects in the heavens?
Absolutely. Yeah, it actually predicts exactly where all the planets are at every given moment. It predicts eclipses, even down to the finest detail. I can't do it justice. You have to see the film.
Well, I was about to say, you saved me the best for last here. Are you really trying to make sure that people show up for that Saturday showing?
Yeah, well, I think that film won the top prize at our festival, both in terms of the audience vote and the jury. So if people get to see one film, that's probably the one they should see.
So when you're coming back, though, to I Remember, I Believe, though, it really gets to the heart of what goes on with archaeology, though, which is that archaeologists are the people who kind of snap us out of our amnesia.
Yeah.
You know, if we have as a society forget about things, even within our own general time period, within the American time period, it sounds like is what I Remember, I Believe is about. And it snaps us back to go, oh, yeah, we did that to people.
Yeah, this is true. This was a burial ground that was lost in a forest in Georgia. Just a few generations ago, people were being buried there, but then it was forgotten. Then the Georgia Department of Transportation planned a highway, and they sent out the archaeologists to do their regular survey work along the proposed route, and they found traces of this burial ground, this cemetery, and in the end, they investigated it, they exposed it, excavated it, and they brought together the descendants of many of the people that were buried there. It's really quite a touching story, as well as an interesting archaeology story.
And are some of these documentaries things that have been shown on television?
Yes, some of them are. The 2,000-year-old computer, for example, was a version of that was on Nova. Interestingly, that was submitted to us before it appeared on Nova, and the version we have is different from the Nova version. Sometimes they're shown on TV, but there really aren't a lot of venues on TV for this type of content. There's some notable ones, as I mentioned, Nova, National Geographic, mm-hmm. and some other PBS and so forth kinds of programs, but there's far more productions being made than could ever be seen on the venues that are currently available on TV.
Which explains why the Archaeology Channel exists on the web then, too.
Well, that's true. We have lots of content. We've got, 250 videos, and content is expanding. Every year we receive many entries. Last year, 79 entries. This year, we're receiving entries, probably a comparable number. These things are being produced all over the world. There's lots of really good material. Unfortunately, there are not a lot of places where people can see it, so I'm happy that we're able to present it.
So I imagine by this point, are you already, in addition to bringing the best of the films from the spring of 2013 to Ashland these two weekends, you must be looking ahead to the next spring festival in Eugene. I mean, you got entries coming in already for those?
Yes, we have a pile of entries that we're sorting through right now. We have a deadline of November 15th.
Oh, and is that soon? Entries. Okay.
Yeah. This is really a year-round activity for us. So now we're sorting through the entries. We're going through the review process. We'll be selecting the screening list for the festival by December, and then we'll be promoting the festival with the titles and everything. Last year, we screened 18 films out of the 79 that were entered. We selected 8 of the top films to bring here to Ashland. This is part of a traveling festival series. We've done it in Eugene, and after Ashland, it's going to be in Bend, and then in Portland, and then finally in Bend in February. We selected 8 of the top films. These are the best of the best. And our festival brings together the best films in the world in this topic.
All right, so it's Friday night, Saturday night, this weekend and next weekend at ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum in Ashland. And what's the time when the program starts?
Doors open at 7. Mm-hmm. Programs begin at 7:30. They're approximately 2-hour programs. So you're done by 9:30, and we'll be at the door by 10.
I really can get a feel for your enthusiasm for what you do and for this project. It sounds like you've really had a lot of fun with the Film Fest series.
We have, and it's been very rewarding for us. It's put us in contact with filmmakers all over the world, literally hundreds and hundreds of filmmakers and distributors around the world. It's very stimulating. I've been invited to festivals in other countries. I just came back a month ago from being on the jury in Italy. I saw some wonderful films there. I've been on juries in Germany and France as well, and we've invited their organizers to be on our jury, too. So we have kind of a worldwide organization.
All right. That organization is the Archaeological Legacy Institute. Rick Pettigrew is the executive director. He's bringing his organization is bringing the 8 best films from the festival in Eugene last spring to Ashland. ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum tonight and tomorrow and next Friday and next Saturday nights as well. Rick Pettigrew, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you again, Jeff.
Mm-hmm, good to have you. This is the Jefferson Exchange. We'll come back in hour 2 and talk to Elizabeth Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love, out with a brand new novel. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange in just a few moments.